thing. If you have kids and you have men, that's a good thing. But anyway, it's good to see everybody this morning. I was actually excited. I told the Lord, I said, God, I feel like what David said. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. You know, sometimes, I know in our flesh, sometimes we don't feel like it. We stayed up too late, worked too long, whatever. You know, our flesh don't really feel like it. But how many knows in our spirit we should always be excited about the Lord and about coming to what we consider to be His house? And I know we are His house, but you know what I'm saying, right? This building where He's chosen for us to gather. Now, the title this morning, this is going to be part three of Saved to Serve. So, I told y'all the definitions of what it means. When you look up the word ministry in all these different places that we read, he says it's an attendance, as a servant, an aid, service, relief, or serving. I've told you before the best meaning that I can give, and that's just because we have people, you know, that listen by way of internet. Maybe they didn't hear last week. I think Zach may have forgot to cut me on. I don't know if that was on purpose or what, but probably not. He wouldn't do it on purpose. But anyway, the best meaning that I can give of this is like when you go out to a restaurant or something and you have a waiter or a waitress. They're there to serve you, right? So, if you got your Bible, or we'll just, since we read these already twice, Beth, you can just put it up on the screen, Galatians 5:13-14. We'll just read it quickly off the screen. He says, for brethren, you have been called unto liberty. The word liberty means freedom. He says, only not use liberty or freedom for an occasion to the flesh. He says, but by love serve one another, for all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Does anybody know what the greatest killer to love is? No? Selfishness. The greatest killer to love is selfishness. Some might would think hate. No, I don't have to hate people to be selfish. How many knows, I don't know anybody that would jump up and down to be in a relationship with a totally selfish person. It's just a killer to it. Why? They're always thinking about themselves. That's what he's talking about here. That's why he says, use not your freedom as an occasion to the flesh. Let me read it in the Amplified. It says it better. What is that, Galatians 5? Get over there right quick. I should have already done that. I think it says the exact word. Verse 13, he says, for you, brethren, were indeed called to freedom. He says, only do not let your freedom be an incentive to your flesh. The Apostle Paul, he said, I'm free to do anything I choose to do. Y'all remember that? But what did he say? He said, everything is not expedient for me. In other words, everything is not good for me to do. Yet I can do anything that I choose to do. He says here, he says, be an incentive to your flesh and an opportunity or excuse for selfishness. He says, but through love, you should serve one another. He don't say serve God. He says, serve one another, he says, by love. So therefore, if I'm going to serve you and others, and in serving others, I'm serving God. I can't serve God without serving other people. Why? He's in other people, you know, and he loves other people. So therefore, I have to make sure that my motives are never selfish. What's that mean? The Bible says esteem others more highly than yourself, right? The Bible says prefer others over yourself. The Bible says look after the interest of others above yourself. The Bible says God is love. God doesn't just sit up there thinking about himself all the time, even though he is everything. He is absolutely awesome. What's he thinking about all the time? His plan and his purpose and our good, right? Now, look at Romans 12:1, or she'll put it on the screen for us quickly. Because I got somewhere I got to go to today. We didn't get to where I was going last week. In case y'all don't remember, we got hung up on Matthew 6:33. And it wasn't me hanging it up. It's all of us hanging it up. How many knows God can, even though I have a message and I know where I'm supposed to go with it, I can only go as far as what we can all receive in here. If we get to a certain place and you're unwilling to change, God's going to hammer on that thing. Why? Because it's for my good, and that's what he's saying to me. So we got hung up on Matthew 6:33 last week. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now listen to that in the Amplified. April, would you read that since you're probably already there? That's my worship. See, a lot of times we just think worship is when we say 11 o'clock, praise and worship. Everybody gets up here and sings songs, and you do whatever you do back there. But no, my service to people and to the Lord, he says, and present all my faculties. What's that mean? All my mind? Bible says, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, right? Love your neighbors, you love yourself. My hands, my thoughts, my eyes, my ears, I'm supposed to imply everything that I have in the service of the Lord. Amen? And he says that's actually my spiritual worship. Now, let's look at Matthew 6:33. Let Beth put it up there. He says, but see, this is where we got hung up last week. He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, the verses before this, he's talking about take no thought for what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear. In other words, where you're going to live, where's your money going, all this other stuff. You know, he says, take no thought for that. Why? God, it's God's job to take care of us. Now, it's our job to serve him, to worship him, to obey him, but it's his job to take care of us. And he said, all of those things the Gentiles seek, but he says for us to seek first the kingdom of God. Well, I've heard people, I've seen it on Facebook and stuff, and they say, my kids are first. If your kids are first, God is not. Now, kids have their place, absolutely. You know, there's some people, a husband or a wife, they choose their kids over their spouse. How many knows that's not right? You're out of order. And that's one reason why you'll have so much chaos, because it is out of the order of what God sent it up, set it up. Well, some people, well, I've got to work, so my job has to come first. God never said that. Now, I know his word says if we don't work, we don't eat. But then it also says for us to work or labor with our hands. Why? So we'll have to give to those in need, never to take care of ourselves. That's not our job. That's God's job. And if you remember, Monty had kind of been trained that it was his job to take care of his family. But he learned, no, it's my job to work, do whatever God tells me to do, obey him, and believe him to have the ability to take care of my family. See, sometimes we put wrong emphasis on men, that it's their job to take care of everybody and everything. No, it's not. You won't find that in Scripture. But he says here, he says, seek first the kingdom of God. God and his things is his kingdom. Just like what we're doing right now this morning. All of us in here could have laid in the bed. All of us in here, I'm sure, could have went to the lake. All of us in here could be gardening or doing something, mowing grass or whatever this morning. But no, we all chose to do whatever we needed to do. You know, wash yourself, put on some deodorant or something. You know, you better smell good for Samantha over there. She's a sniffer. But we all did whatever it was that needed to be done to be here in this service this morning. Why? Because he's first. That's like I told y'all last week. Ever since we've been saved, except the little brief time that we backslid or whatever, we have, me and Scotty has orchestrated, set up our entire life around God and his kingdom. A lot of times nowadays, that's not taught. A lot of times that's foreign to Christians' ears, because I'm not saved to serve. God loves me and he saved me to make my life better. What's that sound like? Sound like selfishness, don't it? It's all about me. It's nothing to do with him. We're not saved to sit. We're saved to serve. We're not saved. God didn't heal us just so we wouldn't be sick. No, he heals us. Therefore, it's according to his will. And yeah, we get benefit out of it. But it's hard for us to serve him and be useful to him when we're sick and in the bed and can't be useful. So we have to have some mind renewal about this stuff. Like I said, we have orchestrated, and it wasn't when we became pastors of this church. No. It was the day that we got born again. Scotty got born again. He had a desire to go to church. He went about 2 or 3 weeks with his brother. I get born again, and I tell him, if you'll go to the church Sandy goes to, I'll go with you. Well, from the very first time that we went in there, I think we might have missed 1 or 2 services that whole entire year. And I just felt like, oh, God, this is a catastrophe. We missed church once or twice. I know Travis, you know, signed him up for football. He played football 1 year. Well, they was going to have to practice on a Wednesday, and I just called him and I told him, I said, Travis can't practice on Wednesday. He can be there any other night that you want him to be there, but he cannot be there on Wednesday. We're not pastoring this church at that time. We don't have ministry necessarily at our church. I mean, Scotty did a few things or whatever, you know, and I kept the nursery. But it wasn't anything that he couldn't do that on Wednesday night. Why would I do that? Because to us, God is first. And when you're like that, and when your heart is like that, and you do everything that you can to orchestrate your life, if your job is getting in your way, kind of like I said last week, Jesus said, you know, how many of you, because they got upset when he healed the person, you know, they got upset because it was on the Sabbath. And he told them, he said, how many of you, if your ox gets in a ditch or gets whatever, tied up or something, how many of you won't on the Sabbath go and loose it? There are things that comes up sometimes that is beyond our control that we have to take care of. And God knows about that. You know? Well, then you do that. But if it's happening 5 times a month, you better shoot it. Because now it's not a benefit to you or useful to you. It's trying to take you away from God and being first in your life in his kingdom. And that can't happen. Why? Because one of the reasons why God says love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbors, we love ourselves. Because anytime you love something else, if you love you more than what you love God, then your flesh is going to be your incentive and your motivation to do whatever it is that your flesh is wanting to do. Just like this. If I didn't love the Lord more than I loved myself this morning, I probably wouldn't be here this morning. You understand that's actually what backsliding is? Something begins to take the place in my heart and in my mind of the place that God and his kingdom and his things used to hold in my life. So therefore, you can do that sitting in the pew. It starts in your heart and in your mind, and then before you know it, just like people that's not going to church anymore. It didn't start when they quit going to church. It started in a place that you couldn't see it, but God saw it. So what has to happen? You got to repent. Some people, they're nothing more than they're out of faith. If I've heard this once, I've heard this, I don't want to say a million because it might not be that much, but anyway, probably 1,000 times. It's just too hard there. It's too hard for me to go to church there. Y'all ever heard anybody that's went to church here before and say that? Some of you saying yes, some of you saying no. Yeah, I hear that a lot. Ever since we started, people say, it's just too hard there. I can't go there. You know, they tell other people that. I want to ask you this morning because I don't know. I think I have an idea. Now, in order to be in ministry here, all we require is you're faithful to come to at least 2 services a week. Now, we have 3 because we count Sunday school a different service because we have the little 15-minute break. So we have 3 services here a week. I added it up, just overkill. We would say 3, 6, 9 hours a week. That's well overkill. Most of our services, I mean, Sunday school is 45 minutes. Scotty usually goes anywhere from 12:20 to 12:30. How long is that? You count that up, and then you add the Wednesday night service. So we're here, you know, 8, 9 hours. 9 hours maximum, that's overkill. That's all we require, that you come to at least 2 services a week. If you're on the praise team, you got to come to practice. Well, you may think you don't need it, but look at us. We need to practice with you. Y'all need to practice with me. Not because I'm all that good, but because I need help. That's it. If you tote boxes or whatever, it's required that you be a member of this church. One reason you're out there representing this church when you're toting boxes or you're working down there, and the Bible says, know those who labor among you. I don't know you. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what your heart is. I don't know what your motives is. You could get out there and cuss somebody out. I don't know. But therefore, we, this church, everybody in this church, is responsible for whatever goes on out there in the giveaway and down there at the close. So I'm going to ask you the question, what's so hard about that? Then what is the problem? Sandy got it. Your heart is now divided. Why? Faith in my heart, which is activated and motivated by love, right? Galatians 5 over there says, faith works by love, which what it means is your faith gets energized by your love. The faith of God is a motivating force that pushes me forward to do whatever the will of God is, just to be a Christian. You know what? Because, see, Cindy, if I get out of faith, I don't want to do Sunday school. I don't care. Let all y'all go to hell. I got my own problems to deal with. Y'all not saying nothing. But when I'm in faith, it don't matter. My head, I can't think right. Whatever the case may be, I may be drunk walking up here, got to have help. It don't matter. Why? Because the faith of God is a motivating force on the inside of every Christian that'll take you to do the will of God when you can't even do it yourself. And it also gives you the want to. But without it, you don't want to. Kind of like Scotty when I had to come put a note on the door. All that happened to the poor man was he lost his motivation because half the people, and it wasn't y'all, half the people that was coming here just dropped out like flies and you never heard anything else from them. How many knows that's very discouraging to a pastor if he looks at it? So we go to church up there. Y'all have heard all the story. The title of Brother Brad's message that morning was, "You've Lost Your Motivation." Oh, glory to God. The message came forth, landed in Scotty's heart. He repented Monday morning. He's at their house rounding them up like a cowboy. What was the difference? His heart. So if I'm not operating in the love of God, in the faith of God, it's going to get hard for me just to serve God. I'm not talking about doing ministry. I'm not talking about just going to church. Going to church is going to become a drag to me. That's why I said this morning, I was so excited that I felt like what David said, I was glad. If I'm not glad, then I might be having a little problem unless I just got some weakness in the flesh. Y'all know what I'm saying, right? A little something attacking me or too tired or whatever. How many knows you can have all that in the flesh but still be motivated in your spirit, man. Therefore, you go and things get changed. That's one reason why I've heard Sandy say something about a lot of ministers. I forget how many she said now, you know, dropping out of ministry because they can't get their people to do anything. Well, the only reason why they're dropping out is because they're looking at the people and it's getting hard and it's getting discouraging. I can't look at y'all. Good Lord, do y'all know what some of y'all do? And I'm not just talking to those that are here. Some of them are not here. Do you know what they do? How discouraging that it could be? To a person, I can't look at y'all. Can't look at me. I mean, good Lord, y'all have no idea what I do sometimes. So therefore, don't be looking at me. But what is my point to all this? The love of God and the faith of God is going to keep me in the will of God, and I'm going to be motivated to do the will of God and keep on doing the will of God. Kind of like that. I wanted to say the Easter Bunny, but it's not the Easter Bunny. What is that little bunny, Energizer Bunny? There, just can't wear him out. They say. He just keeps going and going and going and going. Do you realize the devil can't do nothing with somebody like that? No, he can't do nothing with you. There's no hold, no handle on you that he can get a hold of to stop you. Now, he might can hinder you through a little bit, just like the Apostle Paul said, but he can't stop you. But if he can get you to quit, he can't stop you. If he can trick you, if he can deceive you, if he can get you out of faith, if he can get you into so caught up in the things of this world, the Bible says be sober and be vigilant because of our adversary, the devil, right? Well, the Bible talks about how we can be drunk on this world, how the things of this world makes us drunk. To where, how many knows that the things of this world, if we're not careful, they'll take our heart right away from God. Why? Because you've always got flesh to deal with. It's always there. Sometimes it's stronger or weaker, depending on what you've been feeding, the spirit man or the flesh or whatever. But he said over there, he says, don't use your freedom as an incentive to the flesh. I can go to church or not go to church, really. That's not scriptural. According to scripture, we're commanded. Now, where do we get to? But anyway, yeah, 33 there. He says, seek first the kingdom of God. If you will keep God in his kingdom first at all times, you will not have a lot of decisions to make. I'd never have a decision on Saturday night whether I'm going to church Sunday. Do you know what freedom that is? There's people that on Friday are trying to figure out an excuse and a way. I'm serious. And I know it's funny to some. To figure out a way that it would sound good. I wouldn't be held accountable, you know, because I'm not in the wrong. To not go. And that's sad, especially if you're in ministry. Why? The Apostle Paul said one of the requirements of a minister or a servant, he said he must be found faithful. And the thing about it is, the fruit of faithful, the root word of faithful, is faith. You can't be faithful to God or his kingdom or his people without faith. Why? Because faith is what will cause you to be faithful. But anytime your heart gets divided, anytime your heart is not God is first, God has to be first over me. Sometimes I would just like to cuss Scotty out. For a lot of years I've had, you know, and I'm trying to work on it and all that, sleeping problems, you know. you know, 2 or 3 days with no sleep, and then you just sleep half a day and all this stuff. And it makes you feel bad and all that. And anyway, the other night I had had a couple of nights. I mean, I had like 7 to 8 hours in 2 days of sleep, you know, and tired and all that. Well, about, let's say, what, about 9 o'clock, 15 to 9, I got so sleep. I mean, I'm like this. Oh, and it just felt so good. So I just let my eyes close. Now, Scotty's watching a movie, and it's on Netflix. So at the end of the movie, y'all know how you got to click on the other episode, and it gets real loud during that time? That kept happening, and that was waking me up. And the thing about me is, if you wake me up, I get real ill. Because I have a hard time, and it takes me a long time usually to go to sleep. Well, that's waking me up. And I don't know how many times, maybe about the third or fourth time, I woke up and I grabbed the TV box and I said, "Shut the blank up!" And I know that none of y'all ever do that. I'm just telling you about me. There's times I would like to cuss him out. I don't like everything he does or whatever. I can't go with that. If I do, it's going to cost me. I don't know what all that was about, but anyway. I'll be cussing out your husband or your wife. Do you realize you're cussing out Jesus? I know they don't look like it. Scotty's 5'6". I'm sure Jesus was taller than that. You know, I know he don't look like it, but according to the scriptures, whatever I do to him, I do it unto the Lord. Whatever he does unto me, I do it unto the Lord. Whatever I do to you guys that are born again, I'm doing unto the Lord, right? He says, whatever you do unto these, the least of my brethren, he said, you do unto me? Well, I don't want to be cussing Jesus out. But when I see it that way, that helps me. But anyway, we've got to move on here. I don't want to get tied up on this. So if you'll put God first in your heart and your mind, and the things of the kingdom, and y'all know what those are, right? I mean, ministry, church, anything that he tells you to do. I mean, there's a lot of things that's pertaining to the kingdom. Witnessing to people that he tells you to, prayer for people. And you might say, well, there's nothing that I can do. Well, in researching this, and a lot of times God will do a message with me, he'll start dealing with me about a subject or a phrase or a scripture, and then I get like a bloodhound and I go after it. I start listening to everybody's preaching that I'm okay with, you know. Only if they've got something on that subject, I get the concordance and I start researching the scriptures on that subject or whatever. But anyway, I come across, see, when you get born again, we're supposed to be useful and fruitful. And sad to say, we have a lot of Christians in the kingdom. I'm not just talking about here. They're not useful to God or people. They're not profitable to God or the ministry. And they're not fruitful. Come across this lady. She's an elderly lady, and she don't have the use of her legs like what she used to. But she's still got pretty good use of her hands. So she wants to be fruitful and useful to the body of Christ, to the Lord and everything. And so she had a subscription to magazines, different kinds of magazines. So what she done was she began to clip all of the coupons and make books, coupon books. And she took them and gave them to some of the people in the church. And she began, as they began to use those coupon books, that she saved them $10 to $40 a week on their grocery bill. Now that's somebody that wants to be fruitful and useful for the kingdom. That might seem like a very small thing, but how many knows you got something you can do? Something. If it's just prayer, you've got people, they are anointed to pray. I mean, God has called them to be intercessors, the Bible talks about. They just love to pray for people day and night. And then you got other people, prayer is not really their thing other than their relationship with God. But how many knows every one of us has a gift? Every one of us has a grace. Every one of us has a talent. An ability. It may not be like everybody else's, and it should not be. Why? We have a wide range in the body of people and different things and stuff like that, and God has to have a wide range of abilities that he places in people. And sad to say, a lot of times, the ability in things that he's given us, just like this, for an example. The only reason I'm the drummer here is because, it's not because drummers ain't been here. They've been some good drummers here. There's one that come through here that he let me record him, you know, playing up here or whatever. But the thing about it is, you can't get them to stay nowhere. Their gift is to the world. They play in rock bands. They play in country bands. They play in honky-tonks. They play in church. A lot of times if you pay them, I mean, that's not going to fly with God. That grace and that talent and that ability, God did not give for that. He gave that for the kingdom of God. Right? Everything that he gives us. But anyway, if you'll keep God first in his things, you won't have a lot of trouble deciding and making decisions with the flesh. Matthew 6:24. Let Beth put it up there right quick. No man can serve two masters. Now I know at the end this talks about mammon, which is talking about deceitful riches and all that. I can't serve God and me. I can't. Why? Because me will win. And then it's not going to be good for me. See, I want God to hold true to every one of his promises, Sandy, all the time. The Bible says his promises are in him, yes, and in him, amen. But how many knows? They're not to everybody. But yet, I want him to be faithful, but yet I may not want to be faithful. But he says, no man can serve two masters. That's the entire, every person on the planet. You can't do it. You cannot serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, which is deceitful riches and stuff the Bible talks about. But also, I would insert here, I can't serve God and me. The Bible says that if I will seek to save my life, which is talking about my natural life here, he said, I'm going to lose it. See, anything I compromise God and the kingdom to keep, I will ultimately lose. But he says, if I will lose my natural, seeking my natural life and will and ability here, he says, I'll gain my life. And he's not just talking about just necessarily eternal life. That's when my life will be the best here. You understand what I'm telling you? Acts 20:35, the Apostle Paul, he was quoting Jesus, he said, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. It may not always feel like it right at that moment. I did something this weekend. I'm going on vacation next week, so y'all don't act up, okay? Y'all give Monty your full attention next week. It'll be his week, and whoever's at 11 o'clock. But anyway, I had this desire in my heart all of a sudden to start looking for houses to vacation. And we had planned we wasn't going nowhere this year or whatever. Anyway, and I started doing it and all that, and you know, I kind of, it's like the more I looked, the bigger my horizons got. And Scotty said his billfold got smaller. I got to pay for it. But anyway. And then it's like the more that I looked, I'm talking about in here now. I'm not talking about in my head. It was like the more that I looked, the more people I wanted to bring with me. Now, if you know anything about me, that's usually not me. I don't mean it in a bad way. I'm kind of a loner. I don't have a problem being by myself. Like Aubrey can never. Ever. She can't even be on the back porch by herself. Who's going to watch us, Grandma? I said, Aubrey, I'm right here in the house. I'll be right back out. Aiden, you can leave him alone for hours. I'm kind of like that. I don't need people. It's just a thing. You know, I don't mean it in a bad way or whatever. But anyway, the longer that I look, the more desire I had to take some people with me. And I'm like, I wasn't even planning on going. I really don't even know why I'm looking. Anyway, and the more I look, then here come up a few more people. And then here come up a few more people. Till before you know it, it's nearly 30 people. And I'm telling you, and I booked that yesterday. And I called them all, told them, you know, I don't know who I was going to go and who ain't. But anyway, I'm telling you. And it was like, after I got that booked and everything. So there's some people, they can't use their money to be a blessing. They use their money for security. I mean, that's unscriptural. There is absolutely no security in money. The Bible says, don't put your trust in uncertain riches. Money is uncertain riches. It can be here today, gone tomorrow, but God is forever the same. And the same way he got me that money that he gave me before, he can get me more money as long as he stays first. Right? So I was just thanking the Lord, God, you provided the money for it already. I already had the money. Now I was saving it towards something else. But anyway, that'll come. Why am I saying that? After I got all that done, I'm telling you, I just started laughing and nearly crying at the same time. And I was like, God, that felt so good. That felt so good, God. That's quite a bunch. I can't think about the amount too much. You know, I mean, you're in a house with a pool and a theater and all that for 30 people. It's quite a bunch. But I want you to know, Sandy, when I clicked on it, it said a certain amount, but when I went to book it, they dropped a couple of $100 off of every day, and I don't even know why. Ooh, yes, Jesus. Why am I saying all that? Not to point out me, but to tell you it's truly more blessed to give than it is received. But a lot of people, when they're yielding to the flesh and selfishness, all they think about is me. My money, I can't do nothing for you because, you know, you don't act just right all the time, Sandy. So I sure don't need to be a blessing to you. Does God bless us because we act right all the time? You definitely wasn't acting right when he started blessing you. Right? The blessings on the life of Jesus. And the more that we let his life live in us, the more of that blessing that's already there, and we can receive it. Do you understand what I'm telling you? But that felt so good. I laughed and cried nearly at the same time. I thought, they don't even know what's going on here. Now, whoever goes, it'll be a blessing to them. But how many is, it was a blessing to me when I got it done. And usually that's the way I can tell when it's God. Because see, every now and then I have a thought of doing something for somebody, and then I'm like, Samantha must have the same thought. I will. Every now and then I'll have a thought or desire something, doing something, and I think, I don't know about that. You know, I could buy something with that, or I really don't have time to go over there and help them, and, you know. But usually when it's God, it's like, I have the desire, and it's like, this is just so good, God. Why? Because it's faith and love in operation. And it's a motivating force. And when I yield to that, it blesses me. If it never even blessed them, I got a greater blessing than what they will, I'm sure. And that's everything that we do. But notice that. You can't serve God and yourself. I got to serve God. God has to be first. My husband has a place in my life, but he can't be my first. Because me and my past, if you go back by my past and everything, if Scotty comes first, I won't keep him. He gets on my nerves too much. He don't do everything I want him to do. And it's not his place. But see, just like them, they're fixing to get married, and all of us know this. You know, and I've told couples this before. When you get married and you're both born again, your life should be like a pyramid. Why? Because if he's serving God and God is first, and she's serving God and God is first, the closer you get to God, the closer you get to each other. Why? Because God is the head and he's drawing you closer to each other all the time. But if he's not, it won't be that way. Now, we're not going to take the time to read this because... Matthew 20, 25 through 28. Put it up quickly, Beth, and we will. Or Zach, I'm sorry. Y'all done switched. He says, but Jesus called them unto him, talking about his disciples, and said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. Now, we know we have authority and leadership and ranks and different stuff like that in the kingdom and the body of Christ. That's not what he's saying there. He says, but it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. That word minister there, when you look it up, it says servant. It says, and whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. How many knows, a lot of times, that's not the mindset or the thinking of the body. See, one of the first things, Scotty was praying down at the pew. Back when we went to church, I'll tell you, there was times, ain't nobody sitting back there. Everybody's in the altar. Sandy was there. She can tell you. I'm not making this up. I mean, you're talking about 200 people or more in the altar. But a lot of times now, what I was going to tell you, so Scotty, there wasn't no room at the altar, so he's at the front pew praying and everything, you know. And he's saying, God, use me. God, use me. God, use me. And God wanted to. But he told him, he said, you must first learn how to submit or be under authority before you can be in authority. Why? Because if you're in authority and you don't know how to submit to authority, you will abuse your authority. Every time. And he says there, if you're going to be great in my kingdom, your way's down. Now let's look at John 13, 1 through 17. See, this is not a lot of the thinking of the church today. Because we hear messages about how it's God's will to prosper you and give you what you want and what you need and take, and all of that is right. But how many knows there has to be a balance in everything? He was not created for me. I was created for Him. What'd I tell y'all? John 13. I'm over here in 5. Verse 1. It says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, and that He was come from God and went to God, He riseth from supper. He rises from supper. Where'd I get to? What's the verse? 4. And He riseth from supper and laid aside His garments and took a towel and girded Himself. After that, He poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet. Now, when we think about washing disciples' feet here, probably most of our feet in here are pretty clean. Probably. You know, somebody might have a little bit of something on the bottom or whatever, you know. Not in these days. Most everywhere they went, they rode a donkey or something, or they walked. Right? And they didn't have pavement. Some of them had a little bit of rock or something or other. So what does that mean? Their feet was dirty. Nasty. So it says here, and He began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith He was girded. Looks like a servant, don't he? Then cometh He to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto Him, Lord, dost Thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not. He didn't have a clue what Jesus was doing. It wasn't just about washing feet. But thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto Him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Peter gets a revelation. He says, Simon Peter saith unto Him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head and everything else. Give me a bath. Right? Verse 10, he says, Jesus saith to him, he that is washed needeth not to save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray Him, therefore said he, ye are not all clean. So after He had washed their feet and had taken His garments and was set down again, He said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord. And He was, and He is. Right? The Bible says He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. There's none beside Him. There's none greater than Him. He says, you call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. He said, if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, as dirty and nasty as you are, in other words, ye also ought to wash who? Not the world's, but one another's. He goes on, for I have given you a commandment. He said, I gave you an example. I didn't just tell you to do this. I demonstrated this. He said, I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. Neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you know them. You're only happy if you do them. You're only happy if you put others above yourself. Do you realize that if I'll forget about me, God will take care of me? Why? He's watching out for my best interest at all times. The Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Now, in my flesh, I would want to take vengeance, do whatever I need to do to somebody that does me wrong. But see, if I'll yield to Him and not think about me, and I'll forgive them, God will take vengeance, He said. That's not my job. My job is to love. My job is to forgive. My job is to be the peacemaker. But see, the flesh feels like it's being left out. I'm going to come up short. I'm not going to get something that I need. I've got to take care of myself. I've got to avenge myself. But see, the kingdom of God is right the opposite of the flesh in the world. The way up in the kingdom is to go down. What's that mean? Humble yourself. Let other people do you wrong. I mean, one place he told him, he said, why do you go to court? Why do you sue your brethren? He said, here in front of judges that don't even serve God. He said, that's not right. Right? He said, why don't you let yourself be defrauded? In other words, be done wrong and forget about it and let God do what he needs to do. But that's not the way of the flesh. But Jesus said, I gave you an example here of how to be. And my prayer is, God, I want to be more this way. Because just in my natural personality, I'm not very thoughtful. Sandy is a very thoughtful person. She just thinks of things my brain don't even think about to do for people. I don't know if that's part of her personality or if she has worked on it to that degree. I'm more thoughtful than what I used to be because I've tried to work on it, stuff like that. But some people's just naturally that way. Scotty, I mean, that man, I'm telling you. It's like he just looks to do something for somebody. I don't look most of the time for something to do for somebody. It just kind of slaps me in the face and, you know, here I got to do something about it. But how many is, we can work on that. We can change that because that's our nature now that we have the nature of God, right? God's not a taker. God's a giver. God so loved the world, he did what? He gave the best thing that he had, which was his son Jesus, to reap a harvest. Well, whenever I sow goodness or time or finance, whatever I sow, I'm going to reap. But if I won't sow it and I'm always... I heard a message one time and the Bible talks about it. He says, the horse leech has two daughters and they both cry, yield, yield. We got people in the body of Christ, they don't want to be in the ministry here. No, not just talking about here, I mean I'm all over the place. They don't want to be in the ministry. They don't want to hold you to hold them accountable for anything. They want to do their own thing, but bless God, when they get in a mess in their finances, the church, I have tithe and I have give, and y'all better help me out. I don't owe you nothing. God don't owe you nothing. See, I'm learning, because I'm still in the process. Nobody owes me nothing. Because if you owe me, you can never give me anything. Y'all didn't get that. If you owe me, you can't ever be good to me, Sandy. You can't ever just give me a gift. If you give me something, it's about time you did. I've been waiting on that 6 months. I didn't even know you was going to bring it, but you should do something for me. That's selfishness. But if I will look at everybody, the Bible says, oh, no man, nothing except to love him. If I'll look at you, even if you said you was going to do something for me and you changed your mind or you didn't get to whatever the case may be, let it go. You owe me nothing. I owe you nothing. If I don't owe you anything, everything I do for you is a blessing. Everything, you're thankful for everything that I do for you. But if I owe it to you, well, they don't come see me. Well, maybe if you was nicer, they would. I don't know. Travis told me one time, you know, I'm complaining about not having no friends, and he said, well, Teresa, it's because you're stinking attitude. Johnny, he didn't have no friends. Wonder why. Reckon it could be because of his stinking attitude. Now, today's Father's Day. I'm not trying to get on Travis, you know. But how many knows? If that's the same for me, maybe if I was nicer, I mean, mom and him. I got to stop with this. Nobody comes and visits me. And I'm not telling you I want you to. I'm just telling you. If I want you to, I'll tell you most time, you know. I'm better at that. But anyway, most time nobody comes and visit me. Well, when I had all that stuff going on in my head and all that, mom and granny and my sister, they come over. And I think a week or two later, here they come again. And brought my brother-in-law with. One of my brother-in-laws with them that time. And I told him, I said, I don't know if I can take twice in 1 year of this. Within a week or two apart. Then before you know it, my brother in the Lord helps me get it on my heart that once a month we go eat together. Y'all not saying nothing. And for a person that's a loner, just naturally, my flesh don't want to do that. Now I'm excited once I get there and all that stuff, you know. So lo and behold, now we go and we start eating. Now I'm going on vacation with them, Johnny. I'm going to have 3 whole, fun, filled, packed buffet days with them. Why am I saying all of that? I don't even remember now. But see, I don't know how much more time I'll have with them. They don't know how much more time they'll have with me. According to Scripture, I was going to bring a spray bottle up here and a spray can up here, and I forgot. According to Scripture, mine in your life is a tsh in a spray bottle. You see it, and then it's gone. If I make it to the full 120 that I've been promised, my life is still a tsh gone, according to God, compared to eternity. So I need to make sure that I'm not just living my life for right now, to bless myself, to take care of myself, because when this tsh is over with, that's it. I want to leave a legacy of people saying, I heard one the other day, you know, somebody passed away and they said, oh, so-and-so, he was a good guy, help everybody. You know, and then I heard one before, you know, something about, you know, I'm telling you, my grandmother just blessed everybody, just prayed for every blah, blah, blah. I want to leave a legacy of goodness when I'm gone. I want to leave a legacy to my grandkids. I want them to be able to say, my grandmother might have been stern, but she loved the Lord and she loved people. And she was always good. She would help. We want to make sure, but we can't do that when we're just living for ourselves all the time and trying to take care of ourselves and pay our bills. And all we are is we have us, me and my four and no more on my mind all the time. We got to come up. God says our thoughts is not his thoughts. His ways are not our ways. But he says what? Come on up here. I can think like him. Right? But I've got to come up higher, get out of myself in order to do it. I've got to stop because we're actually over time. I'll be in trouble again.